This is Central Time. Earlier this month, the American Library Association released data on attempts at book removals and restrictions so far in 2022. Numbers are already outpacing all of 2021. From January to August of this year, 1,651 books were targeted for bans or restrictions in schools, libraries, or universities. That's more titles than in all of 2021. We're talking now about a recent increase in attempts to challenge books in schools or public libraries, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. Has this been an issue, concern over particular books at your local library or your local school? Do you think there are certain books that children shouldn't have access to? How do you want to see these things handled in libraries and school libraries? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Shannon Altman is an associate professor in the School of Information Science at the University of Kentucky. She studies censorship and intellectual freedom. Shannon, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
What was your reaction to that data released by the American Library Association?
Well, it makes me sad because it means that there are children and teens out there not getting access to books that could be valuable to them. But I have to say, I'm not surprised. We have seen an incredible uptick in the number of challenges across the country.
Now, the ALA data is listing attempts to ban or restrict library resources. So a challenge at a library, for example, of course, can mean anything from a book removal to, you know, restricting it access by age. What goes into these individual counts of challenges to books?
Usually what happens is there is a concerned member of the public, often a parent, a guardian, who is concerned about a particular item. And the way that libraries like to see this handled is the concern goes to the library director, who can assess the concern, deal with the paperwork, form a committee to evaluate the book or the material in question, and determine whether that book is appropriate for the audience it's intended for.
Have things been working differently this year with this big jump in challenged books?
Yes, we have seen some different tactics being used. We've seen people bypassing the library and going to city council meetings, school board meetings, or social media, and frankly making sort of inflammatory accusations about these books or about librarians. And because it bypasses the library, it really leaves the librarians in a quandary about what to do and how to respond to that challenge in a respectful way and take those concerns seriously.
What kind of, are there patterns of books that you see being challenged in particular in this jump in 2022?
Yes, definitely there are patterns. Books that are by or about people of color or the LGBTQ community are the books most likely to be challenged. Sometimes when the protagonists are people of color or from the LGBTQ community, that makes certain people uncomfortable or uneasy.
And are there individual titles you've seen particular concern about?
Certainly. Those include titles such as Genderqueer, Lawn Boy, All Boys Aren't Blue, and The Hate U Give are some that come to mind. These are books that are often for teens or even older teens. Some of them are graphic novels. And as I said, some of these books, some images or phrases makes people uncomfortable. However, for some of the teens and children reading these resources, these books are really a lifeline, a salvation. They open windows of possibility to youth who may be struggling about various things.
We're talking about book challenges in schools and libraries in 2022 with Shannon Altman, associate professor in the School of Information Science at the University of Kentucky. The American Library Association sees a big jump in challenges to books at libraries and schools. You can join in if you'd like at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts on a jump in book challenges over the last couple of years? Has this been an issue in your local community? If you are a library patron, if you work at a library or a school library, love to hear from you what you're seeing, how you handle book challenges in normal times, if things have been different over this last year or so. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about a record number of books targeted for bans or restrictions at schools and libraries this year. Shannon Altman stays with us, associate professor in the School of Information Science at the University of Kentucky. We're looking at new information from the American Library Association. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, maybe your experiences as a patron, a parent, a teacher, a librarian yourself when it comes to challenges to the materials on offer. Join in at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Vivian is with us in Green Bay. Vivian, hello.
Hello. I've worked 15 years in public schools, elementary and middle school, and the library is a resource, much like a grocery store. Just because I don't want to eat hot peppers doesn't keep me out of the store. Children choose these books. If they have an interest, polar bears, I would assist them in finding books about polar bears. And if teachers request a group of resource books to fit the curriculum, we would provide that. But the library, it's a resource. It's a choose what you want for the most part. And I don't know why the library is just being bashed.
And Vivian, can I ask, in your 15 years working at public schools, did you see challenges? Were there concerns about the material at your school library in those days?
Yes, we did. Actually, some of the challenges came from staff. And in particular, that was a politically motivated challenge. And they're handled accordingly. If you have a challenge, and parents are always welcome in the library. So a challenge will be recorded and acted upon, and if it's warranted, a book could be removed.
Vivian, thanks a lot for sharing your experience with us. Shannon, that Vivian's describing, again, that process you were talking about, there are ways to bring these issues up.
Right. I think Vivian had a great point. I also want to emphasize what she said, that libraries offer a wealth and a diversity of resources. Not every book is for every child or every family. And we encourage parents to work with their children, their teens, to pick out books that are appropriate for their family, that are appropriate for that child. If there's a book or a resource that you don't like for your family, then we suggest you pass it by and choose something else.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. You mentioned the book Gender Queer. That was number one from the ALA on the most challenged books of 2021. I poked around online to see what people were saying. There were some parents saying, you know, I really like this book. It helped me understand concepts of being genderqueer that I had no understanding of before. But it's a graphic novel. It's got some graphic images, sexual images, and they were uneasy, had concerns over it being available on a shelf for different age groups. How do you hope libraries and schools address those concerns and thoughts?
Well, I think the first thing to say is that this book is not available in elementary schools or middle schools. It's a high school book. It's for upper teens. Secondly, if parents feel like this book is not right for their family, they should be working with their own children and with their children's librarians to find resources that would be more appropriate and more welcome in the family. But, you know, for thousands and thousands of kids, this book would be a miracle, a lifeline. It would really help them understand themselves or maybe a friend or a family member.
Over the years, we've seen different types of concerns and challenges to books or taking books out of curriculum. One comes up with, an older title that may have inflammatory, a racial language, stuff that we probably wouldn't want our kids saying these days. I'm thinking, the Huckleberry Finns and books like that. How have you seen those kind of issues get handled in schools and libraries?
Sure, that's really a controversial issue, and I'm glad you brought it up. Some schools have responded to these concerns by removing these books from the curriculum, sometimes removing them from the library. Other schools have said, look, this is of historical significance. What we need to do is be more thoughtful and appropriate in how we teach and how we discuss this. Maybe children should not be reading that passage out loud in class. Maybe the teacher needs to have a discussion about appropriate language, historical context, and so on. I think there are ways that we can do this in a thoughtful manner. And, credit to young people, they can understand nuance and difficult subjects.
Now, you've studied librarians' opinions on intellectual freedom and the importance of intellectual freedom in libraries. What kind of things have you found in your research?
In general, intellectual freedom is one of the foundations of librarianship, in America. We are about providing access to information, and that's really what intellectual freedom is about as well. I have found that in school libraries, the focus is on matching the right kid with the right book, looking at reading level, interest level, maturity level. Sometimes intellectual freedom comes in, a little bit further in the background there. But in public libraries in particular, we really believe that intellectual freedom should drive what librarians are doing, have a wealth of resources available, and then there are options for everyone to pick from to find a book that is meaningful to them.
As you kind of alluded to earlier, Shannon, a lot there are conversations out there that are very heated, a lot of controversy sometimes. What would you hope a community conversation about, the materials at a library or school should look like, could look like in a way that really best serves the community?
Well, I think that's a great point. We do want to serve the community and we all want to serve the kids in the community. I think it's important to remember that no one wants children to have access to pornographic or obscene materials. Nobody wants that, including teachers and librarians. Sometimes there's a difference of opinion about what is obscene, but there is a strict legal definition there that can help us. Really, what this is about is materials that make some people uncomfortable or images that some people prefer not to see. And in those cases, we really should just turn to other resources. In a community conversation, I'd like to see respect from both sides. I'd like to see us starting from an understanding that we all want what's best for children. And I'd like to see us working towards reasonable compromises that satisfy the greatest number of people.
Shannon, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Shannon Altman, associate professor in the School of Information Science at the University of Kentucky. She studies censorship and intellectual freedom. She talked to us about book challenges at schools and libraries in 2022 so far, according to the American Library Association, a record number of individual titles, already more in 2022 challenged than in all of 2021. Coming up, Wisconsin's migratory birds are in flight. We talked to an expert on our state's birds about what we can see in the sky and where they're all going. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Tom Lujack joins me now. You count on the Ideas Network for informative, interesting discussions. We rely on you to keep programs like this one going strong.
You know, listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. That's why your gift of any amount right now makes such an important difference. So go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Make an even bigger impact. When you give right now, We're going to release $25,000, a challenge for members here. When 500 people, including you, make a gift in support of WPR programs by the end of the day tomorrow.
A group of generous members created this challenge to inspire your support of the programs that you and the entire community rely on.
Let's meet that challenge. Your gift of any amount right now makes a difference. It gets us one step closer at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In the last segment, we just heard about efforts by some people to ban certain books in communities around the country. These are the kind of conversations you can count on from Central Time every day, every week.
WPR is listener supported, and that means it's your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 that makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose the amount that works for you and then make your gift.
When you give today, become a sustainer. As a sustaining member, you'll give an amount, say $10 or $15 a month, that will then automatically come out of your bank account or credit card on a monthly basis. Your monthly gift will continue until you ask us to make a change.
This means we can depend on you. We can count on you the way you count on us. Day in, day out, year in and year out, you're still in control. You can change your giving at any time. Become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You know, I don't think we have to remind anyone who watches television here in Wisconsin that it's an election year.
Wait,
if you
what?
Know what I mean.
I didn't know about this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wait. Yeah, that thing.
That thing. You know, you can rely on Wisconsin Public Radio for the campaign coverage that you need as you head to the polls.
You and everyone around Wisconsin has access to nonpartisan election info. That's an essential public service, and you make it possible with your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as Rob said a moment ago, as the donor, you get to decide how much to give. And maybe $100 or even $200 a month is the right amount for you.
That might be what you spend every month on it. Takeout or entertainment, whatever. Things you enjoy that make life better, just like listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. The important thing is that you decide what amount is right for you and then make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, a group of generous donors will give $25,000 in challenge funds when 500 people, including you, step up to support the programs that you count on.
And you can show your support for WPR and ask for the limited edition WPR tote. It's great for books or groceries or whatever you want to put in it. You get to decide. This tote will be your new favorite friend. It's yours when you give $10 a month or more online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
If you're a sustaining member, make ongoing monthly gifts. It will make such a big difference. Just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You count on WPR for great conversations every day. We count on you to help pay for it. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 and thank you.